thanks, brother. Jesus has overcome. The grave's been overwhelmed. You believe that? All right. Hey, there we go. We're doing church this morning. It's great to see you. Happy Easter. Hope you're doing well. I'm so glad you've gathered here, whether you're here in the building or online, to celebrate the risen Savior together. Around 4 a.m. on October 21st, 2019, my phone rang. It was my wife, Jacqueline. Now, my phone ringing at 4 o'clock in the morning, and my wife being on the other end of it was really disorienting for a couple of reasons. The first was that the reason I was so disoriented and so sleepy and groggy is because I had been up around till 1 a.m. That morning, so just like 3 hours before, watching TV. I was watching golf. Don't judge me. I was watching golf, okay? And so that was my choice. Maybe I'm sure you're more disciplined than that, and you're a better time manager than that, and the only time you're ever up at 1 a.m. is to pray and fast and read your Bible. But I just got sucked in to a show. I've been there. I got sucked into a show. Couldn't take my eyes off of it. Was watching Tiger Woods, of all people. So I got sucked in, and then I looked at the clock, saw a really small number, and thought, man, tomorrow's going to be just awful. So that was me. I got sucked in. I was just disoriented. The second reason I was so disoriented was that at the time, my wife was 9 months pregnant and was ready to pop really at any moment. So we had our bags ready to go to the hospital. We were on kind of standby mode to call in reinforcements. And so when I saw her call my phone, I kind of, you know, I opened your eyes, get the little sticky eye feel, and it's all foggy. And so I saw it's Jacqueline. I was like, why is Jacqueline calling me? Like, we're literally in the same house. We're in the same bed, in the same room. Why is she calling my phone? So I stagger in, and I realize, okay, so she's calling my phone, but she's in the bed next to me. So I roll over and look, and she's not in the bed next to me. So she's actually in the bathroom. So she's calling me from the bathroom. So I stagger in all sleepy, and I'm honestly just frustrated that I'm up, despite the fact that it's completely on me that I'm 3 hours into sleep. So I walk into the bathroom, stagger in, say, hey boo, everything okay, everything fine? And man, she just looks at me with this excited, nervous smile. She's like, my water just broke. I think my water just broke. And I'm just telling you, I was so incredibly sleepy and disoriented. I just go, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to go back to bed. Just text me whenever you figure this out. I mean, dude, who does that? What is your problem? It just didn't register. She was like, babe, my water just broke. I'm like, okay, I'll fix it in the morning. You know, I was just completely disoriented. But when you get a call from your mom, from your wife at 4 a.m., and she's in the bathroom telling you, hey, the water just broke, And we got to get to the hospital because we're about to welcome in a new child into our family. That's a kind of life-altering, history-defining event, isn't it? Like, it's the kind of event that once it happens, really everything about your life is going to be different from that moment forward. And what we're celebrating this morning is another kind of life-altering, history-shaping, universe-shaking event. And what we're celebrating this morning is in fact, what we believe is a kind of event that alters not just my life and your life, but every single life that's ever been lived, that shapes history as we know it. Because we believe, as Christians, it's the single most important event in the history of the universe. And if you're going, what's he talking about? It's the resurrection. Surprise, the resurrection. See, if Jesus rose from the dead, like if Jesus really rose from the grave, and you're at church on Easter Sunday, so spoiler alert, we believe he did. If Jesus really rose from the grave, then man, that has massive implications for your life and my life. Right? It has the kind of implications that if it's true, we've got to do something with it. Our life can't go on just as it's always gone on. So I want to chat with you this morning about just some of the implications of the resurrection. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it or pull it up. Matthew 28 is where we'll be. Matthew 28, we'll start in verse 1 and read through verse 10. And as you're turning there, let me just say welcome. Man, I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Some of you, we haven't seen you since last Christmas, and we might not see you again until this Christmas. Now, some of you, man, you haven't been in this room for Easter in 2 years. So this is a kind of monumental thing happening here, and we're so excited that you've tuned in, whether it's here on campus or on our live stream to worship the risen Savior together. My name is Patrick. I'm one of the pastors here, so we're glad you're here. Matthew 28, we'll start in verse 1. Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, we just sang about that, because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that some of them became like dead men. Verse 5, the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, who? Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." I've always loved that. He's like, "What up? Greetings, I'm back from the dead." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Not a ghost, not an apparition, not a hallucination, the risen Christ. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Now, if what we just read is true, like if Jesus physically, literally, really rose from the dead, then that has some startling implications for our lives that we need to chat about. So here's what I mean. If Jesus rose from the dead, then that means for all of us that we have hope for the past, hope for the present, and hope for the future. And listen, I know that you're serious about your hope. That's why you want bigger cars and more money and more kids, get thinner, more followers. We're serious about our hope. And if Jesus really rose from the grave, we have all the hope we need. Hope for the past, hope for the present, hope for the future. Let me kind of unpack that for us first. If Jesus rose from the grave, like if the resurrection really happened, and we believe it did, then that offers us hope for the past. See, right out of the gate in the scriptures, we learn in Genesis chapter 1 that in God's original design for the universe, it was perfect harmony and perfect flourishing and perfect unity and perfect peace and perfect relationship. It was not decay and destruction and death. Death was not a part of God's original design. Death is not the way it's supposed to be. There weren't any funerals in God's original design for creation. And yet death is a part of the fabric of the world we live in, because sin entered the cosmos. That's Genesis chapter 3. Sin entered the world. Now follow this. Since death was not a part of God's original intent and design for creation, and since we know that because sin entered the cosmos and fractured and shattered and broke everything, and we've got a lot of testimony of that in this room this morning, then if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that means that he conquered death, and therefore that he conquered sin. And here's what that means for you this morning. It means that it does not matter what our past is, because the power of Christ's forgiveness is available to all of us. Did you hear me? The power of Christ's forgiveness is available to all of us. If Jesus rose from the grave, and we believe that he did, then that means that he has conquered sin and has offered, put on the table, the offer of grace and forgiveness to all of us, regardless of your past. That's stunning news, isn't it? That's stunning news because it means that regardless of how dark and wicked your past is, Christ paid the bill. Regardless of how shady and shameful your past is, Christ paid the bill. Regardless of how dirty your baggage is, how many skeletons you've got shoved in your closet, Christ paid the bill. And I know that if we're honest, we've got some dark past in here. Some past that weigh us down with shame and guilt and regret. You might be going right now, listen, all that sounds good, Pastor, but you don't know me, bro. You don't know my past. You don't know my background. You don't know how messy my past is. You don't know how dark and wicked the things I've done are. There's just no way God would save me. There's just no way Christ would want me on his team. And here's what I'd say to you. I don't need to know your past. I don't need to know your background. I don't even know how dark and wicked and broken it is, because here's what I do know. If Jesus rose from the dead, then there isn't any sin in your past or my past or anyone's past that cannot be forgiven by the grace of Jesus Christ. In any past in here that's too busted, too broken up, too mangled, too ugly that Christ can't redeem. See, if Jesus rose from the grave, then you can't out-sin the cross of Christ. That's what Paul says in Colossians 2 when he says this, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God made you alive and forgave us," catch this next word, "all of your trespasses." How many? All of your trespasses, past, present, and future. So the amazing news of the resurrection is that regardless of how broken the past that you bring in here is, forgiveness, healing, and redemption are available to you. But not just your past. See, the resurrection also offers us hope for the present. Yes, the resurrection offers us hope for the past, but it also anchors our hope in the present. Listen to what Jesus says in John 3:16. I'm sure you could quote it whether or not you've been in church all your life or not. John 3:16, what does it say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," that's Good Friday, "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but" what? "Have eternal life." Now that phrase, eternal life, is incredibly important because here's what it literally means. We'll have eternal life right now in the present, and we'll have it forever. We'll have it right now in the present, and we'll have it forever. And that verse should give us monumental, unshakable hope for the present. Because here's what Jesus just said. If you put your faith in me, in my life, death, and resurrection, then you can experience and walk in eternal life right now. Eternal joy right now. You don't have to wait to go to glory to experience eternal life. Glory came to us. Glory is here. The King of Heaven has come. And he's declared you righteous and blameless and accepted and loved right now. And why is that good news? Lean in close here. It's good news because it means that God doesn't love some future version of you. He doesn't love some future version of you. I say this all the time because it's so easy to forget. God doesn't love some prettier, more put together, more filtered version of you. Right? He doesn't regret saving you. He didn't think back 2,000 years ago and think this would be a good idea, but now he sees the 2021 version of you and has regrets. He doesn't regret that. He doesn't want to take you back if he could just find the receipt. Not what's happening here. But man, let's be honest. It is so easy to buy the lie that who God really loves is some future version of you. But not the you that's in here today. Who God really loves is the version of you that reads your Bible more and and prays more and shares your faith more and is less in debt and is kinder to your coworkers and has your neighbors up. He loves that version of you, but not this version of you. It's so easy to downshift into thinking that God really loves the version of us that's not trapped in addiction, that's not too far gone with spouse or kids. I mean, gosh, just last week, Jacqueline and I had a weekend without the kids for the first time, and it feels like forever. And so we went to dinner, and we just had a really honest, hard conversation about some ways that I could be more present, more attentive, sort of more dialed in, more tuned in to our family, ways that I could serve her and our kids better by communicating and listening and leading and being all there when I'm there. Ever had that conversation? And listen, and she was right. Like, as she was describing some of the, I just remember thinking, man, she's right. Golly, she's right. I hate it when that happens. But she's absolutely right. I mean, I haven't been as dialed in as I want to be. I haven't been as connected with our family and our home as I want to be. And as I was processing what she was saying, I kept hearing this whisper. Loser. Your failure. Your disappointment. God really loved you 2 months ago. But right now, you disgust him. You disgust him as a father, as a husband, as a pastor. And just as I felt the weight of that start to crush me, the gospel just slammed in and screamed, nuh-uh, nope, that's not true. Get that out of here, because the resurrection reminds me that Christ knew full well the kind of bum I could be, the kind of weaknesses and struggles and issues I would have over and over and over, and yet he went to the cross anyway. For while we were yet, what? Sinners. Christ died for us, not while we were yet perfect and put together and the version of us we've longed to be for years and years and years. He loves today's version of you. He pursues today's version of you. He will comfort and strengthen and provide for today's version of you, the version of you sitting right here, right now at 11:07. He loves that version of you. He adores that version of you, despite your shortcomings and failures and weaknesses. And if we could just get that in our bones, God help us, we could walk in a rock-solid confidence with our hope anchored in the present, that Christ loves us just as we are. Not because we're awesome, because we're not. Amen? Okay, we got some work to do. Amen? Because Jesus is awesome. Not because we're spectacular, because he's spectacular. Not because of anything we've done, but because of everything he did and the cross and resurrection that anchors our hope in the present. It offers us hope for the past. And lastly, the resurrection secures our hope for the future. Okay, let's have real talk. 2020 was a hard year, isn't it? Can we agree on that? 2020 was a hard year. And I don't know about you, but man, 2021 seems to be pretty hard too. Seems to be pretty challenging too. The past 18 months, for me at least, have involved a lot of funerals, a lot of grief, a lot of frustration, a lot of tears and sorrow and loss. And I know that for some of us, Easter lunch is going to look a little different. Because for some of us, this will be your first Easter without a parent, or a grandparent, or a spouse, or a kid, best friend. And so the family meal at Easter is gonna feel a little emptier, it's gonna feel a little heavier, feel a little weightier. But can I just remind you, church? If Jesus rose from the grave, we don't have to grieve without hope. We don't have to weep without hope. We don't mourn without hope. Here's Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4. We do not grieve like the rest of the world, like the rest of culture, like those who don't believe in the resurrection, who have no hope. Why, Paul? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep when he returns to get us. See, if he's still in the grave, we got a lot of reason to be anxious about whether or not this is the way it's always going to be. But if he's living and reigning, he's coming back. And so we don't have to grieve without hope. We have hope. We have a future hope that's eternally secured. What's the hope? The resurrection. See, if Jesus rose from the dead, then death has been conquered. Death has been defeated. Death has been put to death. It's not all there is. In a very real sense, death has been put to death because the tomb is empty. And here's what that means. You look right at me. You got to feel the weight of this. Here's what that means. Death doesn't have the last word. Did you hear me? Death doesn't have the last word. And cancer doesn't have the last word. And COVID doesn't have the last word. And addiction and depression and anxiety don't have the last word. And starvation and shootings and war and poverty, sorrow, grief, they don't have the last word. Jesus has the last word. He has the final say. And in him and through him, we have victory over your sin and your struggle and your hang-up and your weakness, victory over death and darkness, if we'll unite our lives with the one who conquered sin, death, and darkness. So here's my question for you as we close. It's very simple, but it's eternally significant. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to the risen, resurrected, reigning Lord of all things? Have you submitted your authority to the one who conquered death, sin, and Satan, and now has all authority in the universe? See, if Jesus rose from the grave, feel the weight of what that means. It means that he's Lord over everything. He reigns over everything. He rules over everything. So I'm not asking you, will you make Jesus Lord of your life? He is Lord of your life, whether we want him to be or think he is or believe he is or not. The question I'm asking is this. Will you willingly surrender your life and accept the offer of forgiveness and grace and mercy that's on the table because Jesus rose from the grave before it's too late? Paul tells us in Philippians 2, there's coming a day when every single person is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And for those who are in Christ, who put all their chips in the gospel, who put their faith in Jesus, that's going to be a glorious day with no more crying and mourning and pain and suffering. But if you haven't, it's going to get real ugly. And while we have breath this morning, listening to the truths of Scripture, we have an opportunity to submit our lives to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to confess with our mouth that he's Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead so that we might be saved, might know true hope and true peace and true life, that we might have hope for the past, hope for the present, and hope for the future. Will you pray with me as we just take a second to feel the weight of what the Scriptures are pressing on us here? And as you bow your head and close your eyes, I just want to ask you to do one thing this morning. And that one thing is I want to ask you to respond. To respond. That this wouldn't be just yet another Easter service. That we might respond if the Lord is pressing on your soul. That you've surrendered your life to religion or to self, but not to Christ. And that you would be so bold as to say, you know what, I've been chasing after hope in all the wrong places. But then I saw the empty tomb. And that was my hope. Our staff spent time this past week praying that God would save some souls today, whether here or across this city or across the country, and we really believe that God's moving and stirring, and so I just ask you to respond in obedience. And that if you have come to the place where you want to submit your life to Christ, would you find somebody before you get out of here? Don't make it to lunch without sharing with a neighbor or somebody sitting next to you or a pastor or a deacon or on your way out the door that you put your faith in Jesus. And we'd love to connect you with next steps about what that might look like, what it might look like for you to follow in the path of hope. Would you respond? Would you surrender your life to the risen Savior? Father, thank you for the resurrection. Pray that you would save souls and encourage saints. Remind us tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month and the next year that because the tomb is empty, we've got hope for the past, hope for the present, and hope for the future. And it's in your glorious name we celebrate all these things. Amen.